going to Genesis this morning. And what I wanted to really get into was something that gives people a difficult time, I think. And that is, why did Jesus Christ die? What was the sin that he paid for? You know, how do you understand that? And I kind of wanted to approach it from the point of view of how was Adam's sin, how does it affect us? So I just wanted to knock that touch down a little bit. Go to Genesis chapter 2. I also get these questions from time to time, like, why am I responsible for Adam's sin? I didn't do it, right? I get the question from people at times when they're saying, why is God so harsh? You know, that, and it's really because they don't understand who God is, obviously. And they don't understand the first chapters of the Bible. If you don't understand the first 3-4 chapters of Genesis, you really miss so much of the foundation of man, God, what God wanted, and how merciful he is. So Genesis starts out with the creation, and it starts out with God making man in his own image. He gave him everything. He took him from the dust of the ground, and from dust, this new creature that God has made is going to be given dominion over the entire earth. He's got an intelligence that's beyond comprehension. He's got a fellowship with God that is one, unique, beautiful. He's got... He lives in paradise. He's been given everything. And there was one thing God said, I don't want you to do. One thing. And that's in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. It's all yours. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's it. One rule. One commandment. Not to do something. Pretty amazing. You got dominion over everything that exists. You can freely eat of everything that's on the planet. Yeah, you know, you're in the garden, but you can eat. You got rule. You are made in my image. I had you name all the animals. This guy is—he's got it all. Eve is going to come along, and she's going to be equal with him. She's not going to be like it is today, where men rule over women, because that's the consequence of the sin. We'll read that in a little bit later. She's going to be co-equal with him in every single way. And, but if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's not an apple, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. And the it's not die immediately, it's dying, you shall die. In dying, you shall die. And each and every one of us experiences that in life. Nobody gets out of this thing alive because of that. And go to chapter 3. I just wanted to go through and look at some of the consequences of that sin. I didn't want to go through the temptation and the rest. But I wanted you to see the consequence of that sin. So in verse 7 it says, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. First of all, it says their eyes were opened. That doesn't mean he was blind before. But all of a sudden, he sees things very differently than he did before. And one of the first things he realizes is that he's naked. No awareness of that before. See, I can't tell you what this is like. I can't even give you an example because there's no way any of us has ever experienced this. Whatever he had before was perfection. It was innocence. There was no sense of inadequacy, embarrassment. There was no anything. Whatever his mindset was before, it was really a beautiful place. And then they do the first job men do after the fall. He sewed fig leaves together, and they wore aprons. Now, fig leaves are... They sewed fig leaves together. This is your first work, the great work of man after the fall, is really pretty pathetic. He sews fig leaves together like that's going to keep you warm or that's going to cover you. And it's just pathetic work. So he goes from being... Just think of this. He goes from being the ruler, the God of this earth, the ruler over everything, to a guy who all of a sudden everything is different. He's got his eyes open to different things that he never was aware of before. He knows he's naked. He's ashamed. He's got to cover himself. He's doing it with fig leaves, which is pretty, like I said, not very adequate or practical. And then it says in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. All of a sudden, they're afraid of God. They hide themselves from the presence of God. They had fellowship, like people hanging out in the garden with one another before this. And now they're hiding from the presence of God. And the Lord God, verse 9, called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. Adam can still hear God's voice. We hear God's voice. A lot of people don't listen, or they don't want to. But I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, and he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee thou should not eat? And the man said, this is a classic. This is one of those great classics in life that rings throughout all the centuries. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. It's the woman's fault. And really, it's your fault because you gave her to me. Now, are we talking about... Now, this it we laugh, right? Because it rings true. Nobody wants to take responsibility for their own life. It's your fault because you gave me this woman. And it's the woman. It's her, she's the reason for this problem. I just think it's kind of incredible. You know, everybody, when you get a little kid, it's always, no, it wasn't me, it was him. Where does that come from? It comes from the sin nature. Not taking responsibility for your own life, your own actions, for your own decisions. That is part of the sin nature. And the Lord God, verse 13, said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent, because he beguiled me. So she's doing the same thing. Oh, no, no, it was the serpent. And I did eat. And the Lord, so God judges Satan. His judgment on Satan is the hardest of all, right? But I want to stick with the consequences that are dealing with us. Verse 16. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That is the consequence. Childbirth, labor pains, all of that. Your husband's going to rule over you. They're no longer, it's not like it was. She was co-rule. She didn't need him. He didn't need her. They just enjoyed each other. You know, you ever get the joke of the honey-do list? Honey, do this. Honey, do that. Right? Why is it? Well, it's because of this verse. You know, we do require, and all I can say is this is what the scripture says, and each and every one of us experiences it. Not necessarily that we like it, but we experience it. Right? We experience it to be true. But it's because of the fall. And your desire, you're going to look to him. And he's going to rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee this day, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. God curses the earth and the ground. In sorrow, in labor, it's the same word for doing labor with when the woman gives birth. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of your life. You're going to break your back. Thorns also and thistles shall be brought forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken. From dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That is the immediate consequence. The earth is cursed. It's not going to bring forth the abundance. It's going to have to be worked. You're going to have to work this earth in order to bring forth the food. And not only that, you're going to have weeds and thistles and thorns and everything that's going to get in your way to make it even harder to produce this food. And you're going to work your whole life. You're going to break your butt. And then you're going to die and go back to dust. That is the consequence of sin. If I go out to my front door, there's still thorns and thistles and weeds and everything out there. People got to work hard to make it nice. They got to work hard to get food out of it. They break their back. And every one of us ends up at the end of our life falling asleep and dying. What Adam and Eve did, and their change is it doesn't seem like, okay, well, everybody has a hard time giving birth. Women have always experienced, no, they weren't supposed to. It wasn't supposed to be this hard to live. You weren't supposed to die. You were supposed to eat of the tree of life and live. And God would have a planet filled with people who could love him and he could love and fellowship with. That's what he wanted. That's what he made. And as far as, well, why is God so unjust? I didn't do this sin. Why do I got to die? Why do I got to work so hard? Why do I have to do, you know, all the rest? You know, it's his fault. You know, it's the same thing. It's the woman you gave me. Well, they say, well, God is too hard or unjust in his penalty. Because an entire billions of people have passed away since this time. Well, I want you to look at these next couple of verses here. In verse 21, it says, and Adam, unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them. See what God's doing? I mean, instead of just killing them right there and then and starting again, which is probably what I would have done. This didn't work out. Let's try again. God pronounces judgment. By the way, he promises the Messiah with his curse upon the serpent, Satan. He promises a Messiah that's going to come. And then he clothes them with skins. Something had to die in order for him to have animal skins to clothe them with. It's the first time I believe something is going to die here in Genesis. And it's to provide for this man who has committed treason against him. He has disobeyed his word. He is suffering the consequence. And yet God is going to take care of these people and all those. He's still taking care of them until he can redeem them with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is coming in the centuries to come. That's not the harsh judgment, the real judgment. I think that each and every one of us, I gave you everything and you did this, it would have been over. Like I said, start over again. Go away. That would have been righteous to me. But it's not me. It's not you who gets to decide. And I certainly don't judge God. But what I see here is he's promised the Messiah in Genesis 3:15. And he is now taking care of them in their weakness and in their inability and their foolishness. Remember, they sew fig leaves together. That ain't going to cut it. So now he's given them clothes from animal skins. You know, and he forces them out of the garden so that they don't live forever. You know, what is sin. The word sin in the Bible means to miss the mark. You're shooting at a target, you miss it. It's another way of putting it. It's rebellion. It's treason. It's unfaithfulness. You know, and sin in the scripture, the way God talks about sin, is that there's no, it's black and white. There's no gray. There's no transition from, O righteousness, to leaning over to sin. No. You're either doing the word of the Lord or you're not doing the word of the Lord. There's no, you know, sort of like middle ground. Everybody thinks that, oh, there's a little white lie. No, it's a lie. Lie is a lie. You break the trust. You break the relationship that you have with another individual or with God himself or yourself. People lie to themselves all the time. You're either telling the truth or you're lying. Go to Romans chapter 6. So sin is, it's an absolute concept. There's no middle ground here. You either obey or you disobey. In Romans chapter 6, I mean, how does this sin affect us is what we're still thinking about. And in verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. You earn it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wage of sin is death. That's pretty definite, right? So you have the sin that Adam committed, and that sin has been transferred to each and every one of us. And there's people who say, well, why is this? Well, I want to show you the positive side of this also. Go to Romans chapter 5. I mean, these are some questions that people have asked me through the years. And I just wanted to, if you're going to understand what Jesus Christ died for on the cross and what his blood covered, and everything that he accomplished and did, you might as well understand the severity of the problem to appreciate what's been done. So in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, by the one man, Adam, sin, and by the way, in Genesis, if you look at it, God called them both Adam. Adam called Eve his wife. He named her. He called them both men. They were both mankind. You know, he called her the woman. But he called them both men. Because they are human beings. So when it says, well, man sinned, guess what? Both of them did that. So it says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And again, you have people say, well, I didn't do that. For until the law, sin was in the world. See, this is, sin is, think of it like a pollution. All right? What Adam did polluted him and everything that he would bring forth from this point on, all of his kids. You and I, all of us, are the children of the original two people. We're all men of one blood, it says in Acts. Everybody's related. The fact that you can marry other people is because you're more distantly related than others, but you're all related. you know, the closer you are in relation, the more problems you have with, you know, birth defects and other kinds of things that I don't understand. But the point is, that's why you don't marry your brother and sister, because you're too closely related in the gene pool. But human beings are the ones that we have children with. And the further are you away, the stronger the gene pool. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed, set to the account, when there was no law. Nevertheless, regardless of whether it was set to your account or not, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that did not sin, had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Adam is the type of Jesus Christ would come. But now, as the offense, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by that one man, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So I want you to, so if it's Adam and Eve sinned, that is passed upon all men, even though they didn't sin the same way as Adam. I'll take you another step in this in a minute. But I want you to see something. Because of Adam, all died. Because of what God did with Christ, and by the grace of God, by one man's righteousness, by one man's obedience, by one man's walking with the Lord perfectly and giving his life, we all are imputed, not death, but eternal life. He paid it all. The catastrophe that Adam brought upon all men, and death upon all men. For those who believe, and just read Romans, for those that believe the gospel, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what God has done, no matter how many offenses that you've had, including Adam's, which was enough to kill us all, plus all of your own, by the grace of God, we have received righteousness through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He paid for it. Let me show you another thing that might help put it together. Hebrews chapter 7. I want you to look at this particular thing from a different point of view. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 9. This is talking about that Jesus Christ is high priest after the order of Melchizedek, okay? But there's a beautiful section here in verse 9. It says, And as I may, so say Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Talking about Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Well, Levi paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. He wasn't born yet. There's centuries to come yet. But Levi was in Abraham's loins. He was in his bloodline. He was in that soul life that's coming. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, well, this is an explanation of the section, that the Levitical priesthood was not the first priesthood. It was Melchizedek. He was the high priest. And Jesus Christ is after his line. But what I wanted to point out to you here is that there is a concept in Scripture where the individual, Adam, had all of us in his loins. And if Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek because he was in the loins of Abraham, then it works both ways. Do you see what I mean? So what Abraham did, Levi was a part of. What Adam did, we're a part of. It says in Leviticus 17:11, it says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. All right? The word life is soul. When you have Genesis chapter 1, God made soul. He breathed into the creature's soul, life. It's not eternal. Life isn't eternal. Soul life isn't eternal. It's the word nephesh, soul. And then you have nephesh kai, dead soul. And how it's referred to in Genesis chapter 1 is breath life. You take your last breath, you are no longer a living soul. When you breathe, you become a living soul. Okay? The life of the flesh is in the blood. What was passed on from Adam all the way through to you and I, we have soul life. We are called mankind. We are man, human beings. And whatever it was, you know, this original sin, which was permanent in the sense that there's no option here. You have sinned against me. I told you that in dying you're going to die. That means that whatever the heck happened, it's passed on from child to child to child to child, even though they didn't do anything wrong at that moment. But the pollution of his life, the pollution of no longer being an individual who's going to live really forever, that pollution is passed on through the bloodline. You know, well, I'm a McCabe, right? My name is McCabe. Mary and I had kids. My son would pass on my name, right? If somebody stops passing it on, then my soul life, my line, is done. If there's no more children. You know, at the end, Jesus Christ, just get back on this part because that makes more sense to me. Jesus Christ, his one action, and because of his blood, paid the price, the sin offering for all mankind. Let's go to the next point that I wanted to make here. Go to Romans chapter 3. See, God declares in his word, you look at a baby and you think, oh, you know, like I look at my little granddaughter, Eliana, or looked at Brielle when she was tiny. What's terrible about this? What's sinful about this? Well, just hang out with them for a little while. It's selfish, self-centered. It's all about me. Okay, I watched little Eliana lose her temper. And where'd that come from? I mean, she's got everything. She's got a mommy that's tending her hand and foot. Give her food, water, milk, warmth, love, care. And you're going to get angry at the provider of all these things? Where does that come from? Because it's selfish. It's sin. It's in the blood. It's in the nature. You have to teach people not to be selfish, self-centered. You have to teach them to share. You have to teach them manners. You have to teach them how to interact with people. There are people who don't learn these things, and they don't do real well. They may dominate for a short period of time, but eventually they just become the biggest losers in town. In Romans chapter 3, I call it the resume of mankind. But we're not going to read it all. We're just going to go to verse 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand. There is none that seek after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that do good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. Poison as asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's man's resume. You know, and every one of these sayings here, every one of these verses is a quote in the Old Testament. God's been saying this to mankind forever. You've sinned, you've fallen short. There is none. And in let's see, what verse am I going to? 26. Nope. No, verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one has fallen short. Missed the mark. Missed the mark. You know, think about the things God said to us in the law. I mean, think about the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were, you know, the chapter title, and then he gave you a chapter or two of explanation of what commandment meant. But honor thy father and thy mother. Anybody ever dishonor them? You know, Eliana doesn't even know that she has done that already. Not even aware of it. But she's done it. How about stealing? Okay. Now, I never robbed a bank. But I tell you what, I took my brother's trucks. Okay. I lifted a few things, the candy store. Is it on or off? Is it sin or not sin? I know that we say, well, this is not really, it's just a piece of candy. No, you missed the mark, you broke. You know, there's no such thing as a little bit, or it's not really because it wasn't worth much. Well, that's not the way Scripture deals with it. So I know people don't like to hear this. You ever notice that? I don't like. Hey, then you don't like the fact that one man can deliver you. You don't like this? Then you don't like that one man could suffer and die and pay for it all for you. You want to do it yourself, huh? Go for it. See, that's the arrogance. Not my fault. Was his. Well, then you don't accept what this man has done to give you the free gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got to come to yourself. And you realize that we were dead in trespasses and sins, as Ephesians says. Dead. Dead people can't do anything for themselves. You were pathetically unrighteous. And yet by one man's blood, you became worth something. You became a son of the living God. And will be raised from the dead in glory. But you got to accept the first part. And then you can start to really be thankful for the mercy, for the grace, for the forgiveness, for the unbelievable love that God's displayed. Otherwise, you don't appreciate it very much. See, all this was done for us. Just look at this from verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being by the law and the prophets. God's goodness, his righteousness, his right way is manifest to us through the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, it's unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace. You were justified, you were acquitted of all charges by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He paid for you, who God has set forth to be the payment, the propitiation, the payment through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. God made him to be the propitiation, the payment through faith in his blood. Do you have faith that the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he spilt on the cross was the payment that God accepted? Then it's through faith. You've got that redemption. You've been redeemed. Whom God had set forth to be the payment through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. This declares God's righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. He has remitted these sins that are passed. And it's through God's forbearance to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. See, God is the just. He's the only just. He is the justifier. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I didn't have hope. I didn't have anything. I didn't have the ability to save myself. I needed a Savior. And the gospel explains to me from Genesis all the way through that this Messiah is going to come. And he is going to die. Maybe a lot of people didn't understand it. But it's there when you look at it, and especially for us looking back, it's there that he was going to be the one who died and paid for you and for me. Go to Romans 8. We're in Romans. We'll stick in Romans. Romans 8. Just see, if you don't recognize how deadly the sin was and how it was passed on, that you're born with it. You're born polluted. What else? What other word could we use? Damaged. You're damaged goods when you were born because of what Adam passed on to you and to me. And it's passed on through the blood, it seems to me. Now, that's my opinion only because this is what I believe. So it was the blood of Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, who God created that seed in Mary's womb, and he was not part of Adam's heritage. He was the type. He was the Son of God, and his blood paid the price. So in Romans 8, it says here in verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, or for a sacrifice for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. This sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave of himself, it was the sin offering. It was a sacrifice for sin, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We don't want to walk after the flesh any longer. Go to Isaiah 53. This sacrifice that Jesus Christ, this sacrifice was accepted by God. And he says he will accept it thousands of years before. In verse 10, you can read the entire chapter. Isaiah 53, verse 10. It says, yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. Talking about his righteous servant, talking about the Messiah. It pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul, his life, an offering for sin. A trespass offering, a sin offering. He shall see his seed. Now look at this. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travails of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. He's going to be satisfied. The sacrifice is acceptable. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Because I believe on him and I understand something of him, I am justified because I believe on this sacrifice that he has accomplished for us. He shall bear their iniquity. There will I also divide him the portion with the great. God's going to give him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he hath was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made the intercession for the transgressors. That's for you and for me. He paid for it. God was pleased that he would give himself. God accepted what he gave, his life. And because of that, God is the one who has given him a portion with the great. And not only him, but also those that believe on him. They get with the strong. These are some of the things that we can see here. You know, there are many other things that the sin of Adam, the consequences were, like the earth. The earth was cursed, right? Well, it says in Romans 8, it says that this earth groans and travails, waiting for the redemption of the sons of God. You know, the earthquakes, the explosions, the sinkholes. I mean, this thing's falling apart sometimes. Thousands, tens of thousands of people died just recently with earthquakes. You know, mostly because they were in buildings that they built. But the earth is ripping itself apart. God said it was all one land in the beginning. All these continents weren't around. It's been moving pretty big over the thousands of years. But did that change anything in the stars? I don't know. Can't say right this particular moment. I'd love to look into it. But I do know this. I do know that God Almighty sent his son because there was one man necessary outside of Adam's line. There was one man's necessary obedience outside of the line of Adam who would shed his blood as a sin offering to pay for the sins of mankind. And he shows that in color all throughout Leviticus with all those other sacrifices and stuff. The more I look at this, the more grateful I get to Almighty God. The more impressed I am with His grace, His unbelievable mercy, the care, the love, the provision that He gave. Do we suffer? Yeah, we do. We get sick, we die, we suffer. You know what? It ain't the Lord's fault. It was our great-grandpappy. He passed it on. He polluted the line. And God is the one who is going to raise us with a new body and a new mind. No more to be mortal. We'll be immortal, and we will reign with Him and have fellowship like it was in the beginning. That's what God wanted. This is what God's going to get. And He's the one fighting for it. You and I didn't do anything to deserve this. Just like Adam didn't do anything to get dominion over the earth. He was dust. This dude was dust. And God formed him from the dirt and breathed into him life. And he repaid God with disobedience. You and I were dead and dust. And I didn't do anything to help. But my Lord and Savior died for me so that I could have eternal life. My end of this thing is to believe it and to act accordingly. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. And, I hope it blessed you. So. We'll take some time to pray.